We're back on InFocus News Radio KMAN, chatting today with General Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, about all things going on here in the military in Fort Riley. And we were talking here during the break, General Wiggins, and probably good to mention this. We recently had Vietnam Veterans Memorial Day, right?
Well, it's their recognition day. You know, proclamation was signed by here in the state. And, you know, I will tell you, this is something that, you know, vexed me when I first came in the military, is I read a lot of history, trying to learn about the institution, about our Army. And one of the things that really used to get me was people denoted the Vietnam War as really a loss. And I can tell you that that wasn't the case when you talked about the battles. Our Vietnam veterans served honorably and went over there and really took the fight to the enemy. And these were young men and in some cases women that that stood on point for our nation once again. And then when they returned home, we didn't do a great job and cover ourselves with glory with regards to recognizing these individuals. And so we sort of failed. We took a misstep as a nation, in my opinion, and it's something that we need to rectify. And not just for the individuals, in my opinion, but as a nation, because you can hate the conflict, but never hate the soldier. And I think that's where we kind of went wrong as a nation, and we're still trying to recover. So it's always important for young people specifically to recognize our Vietnam veterans and thank them for their service. That is something that I take very personally. Because I had a father that served during that time frame in Vietnam and really Utapau, Thailand, and other places in support of that conflict. So I just think it's important to reach out. And if you know a Vietnam veteran, to really thank them. And we need to do it properly as a nation.
That's absolutely. So many served. And yeah, what a great generation that was here that served our country here in Vietnam. Lots of important recognitions going on. Of course, there's that. April is the month for recognizing military children as well. And you were raised, I believe, as a military child, were you not?
I was. My dad was a senior non-commissioned officer in the United States Air Force. And so I understand the challenges and that's associated with being a brat. You know, a lot of people hear brat and they think that negatively. As a military child, normally you wear that as a badge of honor. So, yeah, I'm glad that in April we get to recognize those dependents out there of military members and really their sacrifices, which, you know, a number of them, a lot of people think it's difficult transitioning from middle school to high school. My daughter, for example, transitioned through four different high schools throughout her high school process. And, you know, to her, and to other children that have done that, they don't realize, a lot of them, the significance, the part they play in relieving the stress off the military member, because there's a huge amount of stress. But when you have dependents and military children that transition so well, they make life easier.
It is tough, and I'm very sympathetic to that. I wasn't in a military family, but I moved a lot when I was a kid, and it is not an easy thing to do, go school to school. I didn't move as much as that, you know, different school every year, but especially in those medial years where you're in seventh grade through 12th grade, I mean, that's where it's really challenging, I feel.
Sure. And you know, that's why in the state, you know, I'm working very hard to get federal impact aid kind of right in the right picture frame here in the state of Kansas. And what I mean by that is, there are dollars that are given to the school districts that have military dependents in their population. And those dollars are designed to go to programs to help assist, provide assistance to military kids that are in these schools in programs and other things to help them transition and work through that transition process. So that's something here in the state that I'm working with several of the community leaders and our legislators to try to rectify in our state, is to get the federal impact aid going in the right direction so that in the eyes of the federal government, particularly the Department of Defense, it's seen in a positive light, just like the reciprocity legislation that we just, it is in committee, signed and passed by Congress and the Senate, and hopefully will get signed by the governor fairly soon here. That really is going to be a significant piece of legislation for our military spouses and spouses in general here for the state of Kansas.
Yeah, obviously the families of soldiers are such an important piece here, and definitely that's important. We hear a lot about mental health for our soldiers and treatment for them and getting that more to be less of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Stigma?
Yeah, less stigma, correct.
Sure.
Well, same conversation I imagine applies to the military child. Is those kind of resources afforded to them and even at more of a level now these days?
Well, I think that's the challenge. Programs are there. We continue to improve our programs, but as you well know, it takes resources and dollars in hiring individuals in order to execute those particular programs. So that's where you want to see the dollars go. That's where we got to make sure that we have a laser focus, identifying the resources and applying them to issues and challenges. And I think, we have the appropriate focus. Now it's just trying to work the processes to get the resources to the particular challenges and issues.
All right, very good. Well, you mentioned the reciprocity bill, and that's such a big deal, and looks like that's getting some real good progress. So it has passed. We're just waiting on the governor's signature at this point, you said?
Well, it's in committee. They take the Senate bill and they take the House bill and they try to kind of adjudicate to come out with one bill, and that's where it's at right now. My opinion, I expect it probably come out within the next week or so or 2 weeks. Be prepped for the governor's signature. And we have been working this process for about 2+ years. I will tell you, through the Herculean efforts of both the lieutenant governor and the governor, we've been able to get this thing across the goal line and our legislators here locally. I truly reach out and want to thank each and every one of them that had a hand in making this particular legislation happen, because I think long-term, it's going to really make a difference to our military spouses that call Fort Riley home.
Yeah, Arizona, I think, was the first state to do this. I know Iowa, Missouri have done it as well and passed similar legislation, that is. This is obviously, I think a lot of folks can see the benefits here. I don't think there's a lot of negatives to a bill like this.
No, and Kansas, to basically not pat ourselves on the back, but to pat ourselves on the back, is now through this new legislation, we have probably one of the most advanced spouse reciprocity legislations in the nation. When you think about 15 days to get somebody to work, that's significant. And it applies not only to military spouses, but to our veteran spouses. It applies to spouses in general. We're trying to get folks into the workplace. Because as we spoke before, Kansas doesn't have a jobs problem. It has a workforce problem. So how do we get those skilled individuals to work as quickly as possible, working to help move the economic engine here in Kansas? And that's critical. Our force, when I came in, once again, was 7 to 11% married approximately. And now you look at it, it's over 60% of our force is married, and a lot of dual working income families, and it's critical that we get them to work.
Yeah, dual income. I mean, it's almost a necessity here these days for a lot of families. So really glad to hear that bill's making progress. General Wiggins, we have just a couple minutes left. Is there anything else you want to highlight here this morning?
No, the bottom line is once again, there's a lot of things happening militarily across our state. And I just, if you really want to know and have access to what's going on inside the installation, they have a great website. You can always go on. The garrison commander out there is constantly posting updates, like the traffic that you ran into while you entered the post. A lot of that is on their website, and they try to keep people informed on ongoing things like pharmacy hour changes, construction, and programs a lot of them virtually being done, that you can sign on and just watch virtually to keep up with your installation, particularly Fort Riley.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago now, I did get to go. So I've had a couple trips here in the last month, but I got to go tour the ongoing renovations of the museum there on post. My goodness, that's going to be a neat treasure when it's all said and done. I don't know how well you're familiar with Bob Smith out there at the museum, but what a neat thing that's going to be.
It is. And once again, it highlights the relationship that we've had for many, many, many years with Fort Riley and our community members. It really is a special relationship, and it goes back many years, and it's something that does my heart good to see that it continues to foster as we move forward.
I'll have to talk with our tourism officials, because it sounds like this is going to be on par with, you know, the Eisenhower Museum and the World War I Museum in Kansas City, and also here the Flint Hills Discovery Center. So there's a great tourism opportunity there that I don't know how you sell it out of state, but what a wonderful opportunity. If you're a museum buff like myself, I love going to museums and just seeing all the history. It's really pretty neat.
Well, you know, the good thing about having I-70 kind of split right through your region is you have a lot of folks who are traveling from out of state along that highway looking for an opportunity to take a break. And that's a great place to go and rest your eyes and your feet while you're taking a break from a long trip. And hopefully Fort Riley and really the communities will be able to get that advertisement out onto the interstate.
Yeah, definitely. Well, General Wiggins, it's always a pleasure to talk with you here, and we look forward to next month talking to you again.
Thank you, Brandon. You have a great week.
Appreciate that. General Wiggins, our guest here on In Focus. Also, thanks to our NBAF guest, Diana Whipple, the ARS NBAF Transition Coordinator, and Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF coordinator, Katie Pulaski, the communications director out there. Coming up tomorrow, good show lined up for you. We've got Karen Hibbard from CVB. Maybe we'll talk about the museums a little bit and that opportunity. We have Greg Eystone from K-State Research and Extension, and we're also going to talk dark store theory with Raleigh County Councilor Clancy Holman and County Appraiser Greg McHenry. Both agreed to join us here tomorrow at 9:30.
Program lineup for the day includes Our American Stories coming up after CBS News, then the Limbaugh Legacy Program, a little bit of Dan Patrick, and then we have Royals on the Radio. It's opening day. Kansas City opens up their schedule against the Texas Rangers. 3:10 first pitch will have coverage beginning at 2:30, and then likely joined in progress K-State baseball at Toynton Family Stadium with that first pitch at 6 o'clock. News Radio KMAN. It's 10 a.m. Good morning.